Hello and welcome back to Yakkerbot Talk. I am your host, Thomas Hipke, and you are listening to an awesome podcast episode. I actually was reached out to recently by Michael Sabat over at the Chat Bubble, and he wanted to interview me, and in exchange, I was going to interview him. So we thought it'd be cool because our audiences match up pretty well. While I mainly talk about Facebook Messenger and different features of that, such as ManyChat, ChatFuel, and other topics regarding Facebook bots specifically. He actually talks about several different things in terms of chat in general, so SMS as well as Facebook messaging, and a couple of cool interviews that go into people on specific applications. But he also kind of breaks down some tips and tactics, so definitely worth the listen to. So if you guys, when you're done here, go ahead and go over to his newsfeed, his on iTunes, Stitcher, and all those other things. I'll have some notes or some links in the show notes, but go ahead and check that out because it's certainly worth a listen to. But without further ado, well, let's make it a little bit of further ado. He's actually one thing that's cool is when you message him, his bot on Facebook, he's actually going to send you the messaging playbook. And the reason that's pretty cool is because it's going to give you an awesome kind of strategy guide for some stuff. But anyway, it's cool. So just check it out. But without further ado now, one other thing, guys. I'm kind of mumbling today, but I'm kind of peeved because he actually has better intro music than me. So if you guys have any ideas, let me know because I want to. I definitely want to step up my game with my intro music, which you're about to listen to in just a second. But if you guys have any ideas, message me. We'll maybe have a little friendly competition of who can have the better sounding podcast, the better sounding intro music, and you know, rather than compete, we'll maybe just collaborate. So Michael, love you, buddy. Hopefully this is everything you hope for and more. Appreciate your love for me on your podcast. That was an awesome episode. So all right, guys, enough rambling, here you go. So Michael, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, Thomas. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Yeah. And so tell me a little bit about yourself. What do you do, and how did you get started in the bot world?
Yeah. So I do two things. One, I founded this company called AtMessage, and that is a platform that builds automated conversations over Facebook Messenger. And the way we approach it, different from like bots where you're doing customer service or operations, we view messaging as a channel. So the same way people build email campaigns and email's a channel, or phone calls are a channel, or direct mail is a channel of communication, we help companies, and specifically marketers and digital directors, we help them start using messaging as a channel and focus on their existing objectives. So we're not inventing new goals for them. We're saying, hey, you normally send people to your landing page in order to do lead generation. We're going to help you use Messenger, send people into Messenger to collect the same exact data that you would from your landing page, except we're going to do it at a lower cost per lead, or, you know, cost per transaction, whatever it might be. So thing number one is I run this company called AtMessage. And then thing number two is I have a podcast all about messaging, similar to you, but it's called the Chat Bubble Podcast.
Nice, nice. And so tell me a little bit more, because so you're basically not going to the small mom and pop shops and talking to them about messengers. Like, who's your ideal client that you're talking to?
Yeah, not at all. You know, my thought on that is like, to do messaging and messenger right, it takes a lot of explanation and
doesn't it?
But just getting people to understand what's possible and what's going on and how it all works, it takes time, it takes effort. And so I go after enterprise clients, or enterprise clients, you know, reach out to me as well. But I focus really on the marketing departments, direct response marketers, and I do a lot just because my background is with nonprofits. I do a ton of work with nonprofit organizations and helping them use the messaging channel.
That's interesting. So what would something like that look like for a nonprofit then, like for what you build?
Yeah. So, I mean, very similar to what's out there. Believe it or not, nonprofits do a ton of messaging and have been probably the biggest innovators in the space. If you think about it, in 2008, the Barack Obama campaign said, text in and we will announce our vice presidential pick via text message and you'll be the first people to hear about it. And
wow.
That was probably, yeah, I don't know how old you are if you're around for that, but that was probably the second big messaging campaign ever. The first one was American Idol. You used to be able to
and that's vote, right.
Right? Way back in the day. But yeah, so the Obama campaign was huge. And then a year after the Obama campaign, the Haiti earthquake happened. And it was front page news on everywhere that you could text in to donate. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Your phone bill. And so with those two campaigns, almost every nonprofit in the country, or at least the ones of a certain size, understood, wow, messaging is a channel. We can connect with donors. We can talk to supporters. We can talk to advocates. And so more than any company out there, they sort of laid the groundwork for what's possible over messaging. And I used to work for the company that powered all that for almost all the campaigns and nonprofits doing messaging in the nonprofit world. Whereas on the for-profit side, it just frankly wasn't as interesting to be like, hey, we're going to text you when your, you know, flight is delayed or something like that. It's just not as innovative. It's much more notification type messaging, which is cool. And there's, you know, funding there. So anyways, you asked, what do nonprofits do? And they do a lot of acquisition. And the word they use is activation for, you know, someone has connected on this channel. And then we want to send somebody a news alert saying, like, this is happening in politics. We need you to call your congressman. Or this is happening in politics. It's a news alert. Last day to register to vote. You need to register.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
News alert. It's election day. Send us your address. We'll tell you where to go vote.
Right.
And kind of to keep piggybacking on this idea, one of my thoughts that I have trouble articulating is that messaging is obviously the most personal channel, right?
Yeah, and totally.
The brands that do the best with it are the brands that connect on a deeper level, I think. And nonprofits just happen to be those like mission-driven cause things where like, okay, I love dogs so much that I'm willing to message into the Humane Society.
Mm.
But for something like, I don't know, and not to pick a brand, but you know, maybe a cell phone case, right? Like they might want people to message in to get updates about the new cases or purchase a case or something like that. But me as a user, I'm not going to make that personal connection with my cell phone case or my jeans or my jacket, but I might because I really, really, really care about this political campaign or, you know, the ASPCA. So that personal channel lends itself well to nonprofits that are connecting on a personal and sort of like mission-based level.
Interesting. Do you find anything that is more beneficial in terms of like retention, like things that nonprofits are doing to get people to come back and continue to message with the bots?
Well, what nonprofits do fits into Facebook's policy well, where you can't send marketing and promotional messages. And so many nonprofits are working in like a news-driven world where, you know, President Trump said this and you are part of, you know, an environmental group or, you know, social justice group. And so the news coming out is a natural news alert that says like, President Trump said this, how do you feel about it? And can kind of stay engaged that way. Where again, a strictly commercial enterprise, like, you know, a CPG brand or I think, you know, your jeans, right? Levi's, there's no news alert that Levi's really has to kind of re-engage that person. So they're kind of going to have to buy a sponsored ad to do that most of the time, where nonprofits can really piggyback on the news probably a lot better for re-engagement.
Interesting. Have you seen any brands that kind of take that news alert approach? That's more of a curious question than anything.
Yeah, so I have follow-ups built in the platform, in my platform, for like 23 hours later, we can retarget the person, like a little mini drip campaign. And we do a lot of that to follow up on the data collection. But in terms of the news alert for a strictly commercial business, I don't think I've done one. And anything I've seen that I've been a user of hasn't been great. You know, like weather or sports scores are a few of the like alerts I think I've gotten, which are so-so, but it's not a it's not a high value message because I'm going to find out more anyway, you know?
Yeah, totally. Well, interesting. Let me ask you this. I've obviously the people who listen in are normally either like mini chat or chat fuel. And it's kind of like the Pepsi and the Coke of the,
yeah, totally.
The chatbot world. But do you have any interviews that stick out in your mind that somebody with that sort of mindset might find interesting? And can you tell me a little bit about that?
Any from my podcast?
Yeah, like, because I mean, I'm wondering, like, what's one of your favorite episodes that somebody might resonate with? And what was that about? And
yeah, cool. So, I mean, the two that are popping into mind or three that are popping into mind. So I focus on messaging. I started with like the idea of bots, but this was about a year ago. So, you know, there was a lot of, not as much substance with some of the people I talked to, but I did talk with, their names are escaping me now, but David and I think Rebecca from Purple. And that was, it was for the election. And the interesting thing there is they would send one news alert a day about the election. And again, there was so much crazy stuff going on that the cool thing was I was actually able to not dig into the social media news of like clicking through a million articles to find out what was happening. I knew that Purple would send me that one notification that I needed to know to describe everything. And it was nonpartisan. So it was like the news, not the spin. So yeah. I did an interview with them and kind of where they're taking it, which is really interesting. I then pivoted just because I was sort of running out of like people that could really talk a lot about doing stuff with bots versus people that were just starting a year ago, right? And kind of just investigating it. But so I switched to talking to a lot of people that run SMS campaigns, right? And I've done so for a while. And I spoke with Lloyd Kotler, who ran the Hillary Clinton SMS campaign. And it was like a phenomenal success total outcome, but in terms of how that list did and how it performed, it was very good. And then also the guys from Hustle and Daniel from Relay, and they do peer-to-peer messaging over SMS, which is a big and very hot space in the messaging world. They just got a lot of funding, Hustle did, to do, do you know how peer-to-peer works at all? Have you heard of it?
I don't know.
Oh, cool. So you know, normally SMS specifically is you build a list and you get these opt-ins and then you can message people just like email. The way peer-to-peer works is if you're an organization and they do commercial, but it's mostly nonprofits so that it's not like overly spammy. But like, let's say you're a political campaign or you're, you know, just an organization like, you know, AARP, you can upload your list of phone numbers to Hustle or Relay, and then volunteers or employees go into an app and they can have one-on-one conversations with people on that list over text message.
Holy crap.
And they get around the opt-in requirement for texting because it's actually a person sending the message. It just so happens that it's kind of like going through this app over text message, but they don't need the opt-in to blast out messages because they're not blasting them out. They're enabling one-on-one conversations at scale and doing it quickly. So it's really taking off. It's in this little like gray area of what's possible, but it seems to be pretty on solid ground, but it's a big story, Hustle and Relay in the text messaging space.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I could see how that could be really, really effective though, especially if it's like a live person interacting, you know?
Yeah. It's good, right? And it's engaging and it's really a question of like how, in my personal opinion, how successful can it get? It's fine when it's a cause I care about or when it's something I'm really into and someone just texts me out of the blue and says, hey, I'm a volunteer with, you know, this political campaign or whatever, like maybe I'll engage. But if it gets too successful and I'm getting a text that says, hey, you know, it's Michael, I'm a volunteer with WeWork. We want to know, do you want to come in and do a visit? It might get super annoying if it ever blows up big time. So right. We'll see what they can do, but it's definitely like in terms of like this election cycle, it's definitely one of the go-to technologies out there.
Peer-to-peer. Interesting. Love it. Let me ask you this, because there's people on two sides of the fence, and one person, or you know, one camp will say, you know, email is awesome, and then other people will say email is retarded and I'm never going to use it, like within the bot space. What's your opinion on that, and how do you see email playing in, like what's email's role in the bot world?
Well, I think it's risky to build your list on Facebook exclusively right now, because you know they just pushed out an algorithm change for the feed yesterday, or a week ago now. So this is mid-January, and you know, a lot of people that invested heavily in building those likes, they have trouble reaching them now with the algorithm. So right now, messaging is the new cool thing in Facebook, but building your list exclusively there has risks that Facebook could say, "Hey, you know, you have to buy sponsored messages instead of you know." Being able to send subscriber messages, or right. This is, you know, the opt-in changed and no longer do news alerts for subscription messaging. You have to buy those ads. So it's risky to do just messaging. And it's, if you're dealing with small businesses, they may not have sophisticated emails, but if you're dealing with larger enterprises, their CRM is based off email. It's what it's keyed off of. And so there is inherent value to collecting an email from a conversation. And so that's pretty much my opinion, that email is still king. It's still the, you know, key record, key ID in databases. And so there's value there to do it. And the flip side of that is, and we saw this work a lot on SMS, and I think it would be true in messaging as well. It's until that buy button for Facebook really, really gets out there and is available and out of beta and people have really figured it out, it's hard to do transactions on the phone. And Messenger helps, but it's still an issue we see even with what we're doing now where you know, we're collecting all the data via Messenger, and then the person just needs to enter their credit card in Shopify or whatever to complete the transaction. It's still harder to do that on the phone than it is to do on the desktop. What's been interesting is if you collect the email from that person, and when you send a message that says sale today or whatever the message is, if you send an email and then also follow up with a message, that message will actually increase the likelihood that someone converts on the email.
Awesome.
So it's like a ping. It's like a reminder. We always used to say back in the day, it's like putting a sticky note on their computer. Hey, remember that, you know, Levi's is sending you an email and it's the last day to, you know, get shipping before Christmas. And so that message cuts through all the clutter. It grabs their attention. Even if they don't transact via Messenger, that message will amplify the results from email. So yeah. So basically, I think email, don't use it at your own peril at some level.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, there's some people kind of saying like, I'm, you know, I'm only using bots and I'm having massive success. And I'm like, well, that's awesome until, like you said, until Facebook changes their algorithm, and then you're going to have to start over. So I'd say just take the safe route, get the email, build your list, and, you know, you'll be happier in the end.
And I'm also doing... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're also doing what?
I'm doing work for like organizations. Like I'm not building like my standalone, you know, bot interaction. I'm doing it for organizations. And so from an organizational setting, it's like, yeah, it's required. Like they're still very much on email, and some are just kind of getting into email, right? Not on the way out, they're on the way in. But yeah, you know, if you have your own interaction and it's like Messenger native and makes sense to be Messenger native, definitely very cool.
Yeah, totally. And it just reminds me of like, you know, like how many people were huge on Vine, you know, and then that shut down. And then how many people were huge on Periscope and Meerkat, you know, and that got shut down. I mean,
a lot of those guys were able to bounce back and to and get on a new platform, but like, you know, like those platforms just crashed and there goes a majority of their audience. So
that too, but you know, even in Messenger, it's, you know, owning like an asset versus not, right? So when you have the email at some level, it's an asset. It's like a way you can connect to the future. Having a phone number for texting, for calling, it's an asset. You can get in touch with that person in the future. When you do Facebook Messenger, you don't even get their profile address, right?
Yeah.
You're getting an app scoped ID. And so you're not even getting like something that like has the promise of being a connection to that person, or maybe it has the promise, but it's not even them. Like you're getting, there's an intermediary called the app in between. And, you know, if you're setting up your own apps, like I think I mentioned on, it might've been my podcast or this one, you know, I set up, each customer gets their own Facebook app when you use at message. But some of the ones that are like free services, like you don't even get your own app for that customer, for that user. So it's just building it strictly on Messenger. You're more than one step removed in a lot of directions and probably not ideal.
Totally. Totally love it too. Awesome. Well, Michael, where can people reach out to you and get a hold of you or learn more about you and interact with you?
So a few things. So number one is I published a playbook for Messenger and it's kind of like the basics, right? And so you can message in to at message. So open Messenger, search for at message, ATMSSG, and then you can just click get started and send me a message and I'll get you the playbook. So that's number one. And number two is at the podcast, the Chat Bubble. So I have thechatbubble.com. You can go there and listen to messages. Sorry. I have a website called thechatbubble.com. You can go there and listen to episodes or just iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, any of the cool podcasts. What's the new one? Someone reached out to me. Breaker. Someone reached out to me for Breaker. They're only on iPhone. But yeah, anywhere you listen to podcasts, it's called The Chat Bubble. And just subscribe there and get, you know, more messaging in your ears.
Awesome. Love it, man. Well, thank you again for coming on the show.
Thanks, Thomas. Thanks for having me.
Well, guys, that is the episode for today. Thank you so much for joining me. That was an exciting episode with Michael. Just a reminder, make sure to message him on Facebook and get his messaging playbook. It's an awesome download. Links are in the show notes. And then, I don't know. What do you guys think about my intro music? I don't think it's horrible. That's actually something I put together myself in GarageBand. I'm a little bit of a electronica guy, dubstep, house, trance, that sort of thing. But anyway, he kind of has this cool, like jazzy kind of smooth sound and stuff. So anyway, I'm a little bit jealous. I don't know if he paid for that. Maybe I should ask him for if that's something that he put together himself. But it definitely sounds awesome. But so once again, check out his podcast. Make sure you subscribe to that if you haven't already. And then post a picture and tag us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or wherever else we're found, which is everywhere. But that'd be fun to kind of see where people are at and what times they're listening to it and whatnot. So just take a screenshot or something of your phone with the show notes, tag us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever, and then, surprise us. Let us see where you guys are coming from and what you're currently doing and stuff. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoy yourself. Next episode, I'll actually have Mark Littlemore. I apologize to Mark profusely because, it's been a while since I've actually edited his show and need to get it published. So anyway, Mark, you're coming soon, buddy. Everyone else, have a great day and talk to you soon.